so fine. Lord, I love you all the time. You're just a fine, pretty baby. Let me love you all the time. Well, it's I've got a gal. She's fine and brown. What I like about her, she's mine, oh mine. She's so fine. Ooh, you're so fine, baby. You're just a fine, healthy thing. I gotta love you all the time. Bought you a diamond ring. We'll say that you'll be mine, baby, and we will make a man. You're so fine. Ooh, you're so fine. Just a fine, healthy thing. I gotta love you all the time. My conversation, you made me talk myself to death. I'm in love with you, baby. I don't want nobody else. You so fine. You so fine. So fine, healthy thing. I gotta love you all the time. Come on, baby. I'm in love with you, baby. Just can't help myself. Going crazy cause you're loving someone else. You so fine. You so fine. So fine, healthy thing. Let me love you all the time.
Was great. John Hammond, how did you first find the blues?
Well, I just heard some tunes, I guess, and that I liked a lot. One tune leads to another, one artist, one blues recording turns you on, and then you listen to other blues records and you form your own taste and styles that you like, and I just thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard. And I guess I was in my early teens. I'd been exposed to music early, blues and jazz, my father being a producer. And when I formed my own taste, I got into the country blues and Chicago-style blues and started buying records and listening, knew a lot of the songs. And when I was in my late teens, I got a guitar and started to fool around. Drove all my friends crazy, and then I left out on my own and started playing professionally when I was 19.
Did you like travel particularly to like find certain blues musicians who you'd want to just be around and be able to like watch and listen to?
Well, I was in school in Ohio. I went to Antioch College, and on my free time I would drive up to Chicago, which was not very far. And I'd listen to, you know, the blues giants up there like Muddy Waters and Howling Wolf and Little Walter, Sonny Boy Williamson, to name a few. And I was inspired by those artists. And I had a collection of country blues records by very much more obscure artists and artists that had passed away. And I was particularly inspired by Robert Johnson's songs and his style. I think, you know, what you were saying before about developing a style, I think it's a style, a technique, more a style more than a technique. You know, you work out, if you're learning from hearing records, you have to pretty much guess at a lot of things, and you develop your own style through hearing things that you like. And that's what I've done, basically. I'm self-taught and by ear. But I'd watch guys who played, and I'd listen to, you know, things that they did. And so my style has developed over a long period of time. I'm still developing.
The Chicago blues scene strikes me as being a pretty electric blues scene, a lot of electric guitars.
It is, but what's unique about the Chicago scene, of course, is that the majority of the artists had begun playing acoustic guitars and doing the rural country blues songs, and the music is just like a half step up from acoustic blues. It's, you know, the same basic style with electric guitar and bass and drums, or not even bass, sometimes just electric guitar, drums, and harmonica. That's the way Muddy Waters did his initial records, just him playing guitar, drummer, and harmonica player.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very close to country blues.
If you're just joining us, my guest in the studio is John Hammond. He's brought his instruments with him today and will be playing for us a little more in a few minutes. I don't know if you'd call yourself a blues revivalist. Now, that's a word that's used a lot. I mean, how do you see yourself within the blues tradition as, like, continuing a tradition, reviving something that has passed?
Blues hasn't passed by any means. I'm a blues singer. I've got my way of doing particular songs that I like. I'm not a writer, even though maybe I will eventually write songs or something. I do songs that I like, and I do, you know, I do blues songs, and maybe a traditionalist or something like that, you might say. I'm doing traditional blues tunes. Perhaps you haven't heard many of them, but they're it's within a tradition.
Could you play another blues for us now?
Sure.
I woke up this morning and all my strips were dead and gone. I woke up this morning, all my strips was dead and gone. I was thinking about you, baby, oh, don't you hear me weeping more. I got dead shrimps now, someone been fishing in my pond. But I got dead shrimps now, someone been fishing in my pond. You know, I serve my best bait, baby. I swear I can't do that no harm. Oh, everything I do, you got your mouth stuck out. The whole while I used to fish, honey, you got me posted out. Everything I do, little girl, you got your mouth stuck out. Yeah, the whole where I used to fish, baby, I swear you got me posted out. But I got dead shrimps now. Someone been fishing in my pond. Hey, I got dead shrimps now. Someone been fishing in my pond. No, they're catching my goggle-eyed perches. Baby, I swear they're barbecuing the bone. Ah, now you're taking my shrimps. I swear you tied me down. I couldn't do nothing, honey, till I got myself unwound. Lord, you're taking my shrimp. Ooh, Lord, I swear you tied me down. I couldn't do nothing, baby. Ooh, Lord, I swear till I got myself unwound.
You play blues that started in different parts of the country, like Mississippi and southern states of the United States. I'm wondering how much of an audience now in those places where these blues started there is for that kind of music.
Well, when I was a young man, maybe in my teens or so, in the 50s, in the early 60s, on the radio you heard blues everywhere in the South. You know, you could be in a car driving along and listen to all kinds of blues stuff. And about the late 60s, the radio got changed all around, and everything, all the black stations that once played blues and R&B stuff went Motown and then disco, and you didn't hear blues anymore on the radio. As a result of it, it became harder and harder to hear real blues, except in nightclubs. Nightclubs, fortunately, still play. They still have blues artists, and I mean, blues is a real basic, maybe more adult style of playing, much more fundamental type of music that deals with real life situations, funny, sad, weird, everything, you know. It's real people stuff, you know. Has to do with very heavy emotional stuff.
But some of the situations that you sing about are probably situations that wouldn't really be happening to you, John Hammond, in real life. Like a tune we're going to be hearing
really?
In a few minutes about carrying a .44 and looking for your woman. It's not a situation I'd place you in.
Yeah. Well.
You're going to tell me about it, huh?
Well, I don't have to say anything, you know. I mean, songs, everybody can relate to feelings.
Yeah.
And that feeling is a particular feeling that every man that has been jerked around has felt that way. I don't know that the man who wrote that song ever went out with a .44 either, but the feeling was there, and that's relatable to anybody. Above the age of, old enough to know what it's all about. And I think blues songs are, you know, you don't have to be down in the bottom in order to feel that feeling. This is like basic human stuff, and it's very potent, I think.
Do certain lyrics in blues attract you more than others?
Certainly. I mean, The images in blues tunes are very intense and very powerful, funny, sad, whatever. But it's very basically intense, and I can relate to it. I think that that most Americans can relate to it. It is, after all, probably the only original American art form in terms of a musical art form. Anyway, the blues is the roots of jazz and rock and roll and most popular stuff that you hear on the radio.
When you were beginning to travel and meet blues players and to play yourself, did you meet up with any surprise frequently with, say, black blues players finding you, who is from the North, who is white, playing the blues real well and being really interested in it?
Well, I think, you know, when you meet somebody that plays or does what you do, you're judged somewhat more on how you do it than where you're from. I mean, I know guys that, you know, that play hockey that are from South Carolina. I mean, you know, you don't have to be from a particular place to get into a thing that you like or love to do. That's what's terrific about America and the cultural crossovers or whatever. You have access to records, and that's all you need, basically.
Let's listen to a selection from your most recent album. The album's called Footwork. We're going to hear something which finds you with Roosevelt Sykes at the piano. Do you want to say a few words about playing with him?
Well, the Honey Dripper, Mr. Roosevelt Sykes, has been playing professionally, recording since 1928. He's worked with big bands. He's worked solo. He's moved to New Orleans from Chicago, where he was entrenched for years and years. He plays now just by himself. He's got more energy and dynamics on the stage than any man I've ever seen. He's just a dynamo. And he's a wonderful gentleman, very sophisticated and suave. And this particular tune is, he recorded in 1929 or something, the 44 Blues.
Okay, well, let's hear it. And this is from my guest John Hammond's latest album called Footwork.
I walked all night long, oh, with my 44 in my hand. I walked all night long, well, my 44 in my hand. I'm looking to find my baby, I believe she'd take with another man. I wore my 44 so long, I mean it made my shoulders sore. I wore my 44 so long, I mean it made my shoulders sore. And if I find my baby, I won't need my 44 no more. That lonesome 44 whistle blow. I hate to hear that long, lonesome. I mean that 44 whistle blow. You know it's taking my baby, and it won't be coming back no more. I got a little cabin. I mean it's number 44. I got a little cabin. I mean it's number 44. Not only keep me company, boy, is the wolf scratching at my door.
Thank you.
I wore my 44 so long. I mean, it made my shoulders sore. I wore my 44 so long. It didn't make my shoulders sore. Well, if I find my woman, I won't need my 44 no more.
John Hammond with Roosevelt Sykes with him at the piano from John's newest album on Vanguard, which is called Footwork. My guest is John Hammond. He's in Philadelphia to play the bijou. Do you listen to your own records, John?
No, I don't. When I record a record, I'll be so familiar with it by the time it's mixed and released that I've pretty well heard it. Every now and then when I do an interview, maybe on the radio or something, I'll hear them again. Or if I'm at home and a friend comes around that has never heard a record, I'll play that. But by the time I've recorded it and had it mixed and mastered and released, I've heard it a billion times.
Mm-hmm.
I play every night, too. So,
You know, you seem to really enjoy playing a lot.
Oh, I do. It's my living. It's what I love to do most. And I only do what I love to do.
That's nice. I think a lot of musicians would really like to take a break from playing sometimes.
You know, because when I feel like playing, I play, and when I don't, I don't. And that sounds a little pat, I know, but I mean, every now and then I'll take a break, and my wife and I'll go somewhere and just. But when I'm not playing, when I'm home, you know, I don't practice every hour or anything like that. You know, we're home and we have children. We love to. You know, have our own reality too.
Your father was a great record producer who's left all kinds of really important marks on American recorded music. Has his musical career and his tastes have they influenced you at all?
Not really, no. My career is very independent of him and purposefully so. I wanted not to be connected with his world, which is, you know, his own and his own fame, you know, is on another level. I mean, I'm a performer, a musician, and he's a producer, and he's on the other end of it. And so my career is very independent of him.
I don't know if you've had a chance to hear any of this, but do you have any reaction to some of the blues rock bands that are becoming popular on the FM radio now?
Uh-huh. I know a lot of the guys that are playing in them. Some of them is good, and some isn't. You know, some is. There's a band called the Nighthawks. They're from DC, and they play a lot of really good blues stuff, and I just made an album with them, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I just heard them interviewed on another station here in Philadelphia.
Right?
Yeah. The person who was interviewed was complaining for a couple of minutes about the Blues Brothers as being, kind of parroting the music without paying it any respect.
That's how I feel, too.
Yeah?
Yeah, I feel it's a ripoff, and you know, the TV commercials and huge hype and big money that never goes into blues artists that are great, you know, it makes me sick to my stomach. And, these guys might be terrific actors and everything, but to make an album and have it go platinum and have all the hype in the world behind it, it just must make a lot of blues artists feel sick, you know. It's just, there's no reality there. I mean, you look at the Warner Brothers people, and I mean, they don't even sign any blues artists to their label. They won't release any blues. They won't promote any blues. And for them to be doing this is a slap in the face to a lot of guys that, whatever. That's my feeling on that.
You spend a lot of time touring, playing places around the country, do you, aside from the parts where you're playing, do you enjoy being on the road?
Yeah, I enjoy traveling, and I like to be in new places and old places, and I like to see architecture, various styles of architecture, and various trends of what's happening. And you know, I've been on the road for 18 years or something like that, and I've had a chance to see a lot of the U.S. and Canada and the world, and I enjoy particularly to go with my wife and see things, you know, in our own perspective, in our own eyes, and which is very nice. It's hard being on the road alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for those of us who aren't on the road, it's easy, I think, to imagine a much more romantic setting than it usually is, because you end up staying in a hotel probably where nobody notices whether you're there or not. I mean, you know, if you admire someone's work, it's easy to assume that wherever they are, everybody knows how great they are, and consequently loneliness is the last thing in the world that would happen to them on tour. I guess that's frequently, though, not really the case.
Well, in the evening, that's when you have your chance to meet people and to enjoy some acknowledgement, you know.
Can I ask you to play another tune for us?
Okay.
Great.
I see you watching me just like a hawk. I don't mind the way you talk. But when you touch me, something's got to give. I live the life of love and love the life I live. My diamond ring and my money too. Tomorrow night they could belong to you. The girls move me at their will. The life of love and love the life of live. Oh, I might lay 100 on a bed this time. Tomorrow night I can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. So I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel. As I pass you by, don't talk about me, cause I could be high. But just forgive me if you will. I live the life of love and I love the life I live. Oh, I might lay 100 on a bed this time. Tomorrow night I can't cover your dime. Next week I could be over the hill. I'm just trying to tell you people how I feel.